Hello and welcome back to Block Talk, the show that has critics saying, it's all right, I guess. I'm your host with the most, Green Phlegm, and I dig straight down because I ain't no baby. My next guest is someone that you all should know about. His mods are more in-depth than most others out there, and the variety in them is staggering. Please welcome to the stage, Ryka.
Does
Hello.
that work?
Yeah, perfect. So if you want to sit down. Hello.
I just right-clicked it.
Yeah,
Okay, here we go.
sorry. I know I probably should have explained it. It's a whole new world with these little micro blocks, man.
Yeah, I've not done much of these newer mods.
I don't know if you're creative. I'm not creative at all when it comes to designing these types of things.
Not with this sort of thing.
I just want to start by introducing you. You're Ryka. You created Rotary Craft, Chroma Craft, Chroma, sorry,
Chromatcraft.
Chromatic Craft. My bad. And if you want to introduce yourself, what do you do? What are you known for?
Well, I mean, Rotorcraft is how it got started, right? Then shortly after that, I say shortly, like a year and a half, Reactorcraft is an add-on, and then another 6 months later, Electrocraft. And then a few mods on the side, in Geostrata, Dietrees, those two grew into Chromaticcraft, which of course is now the largest of all of them. Feature-wise and code-wise and file size-wise, and performance-wise, but Rotorcraft and Chromaticcraft are definitely the most well-known of the two, or of all of them. But yeah, I mean, if people have heard of me, it's going to be through one of those two because I wasn't exactly one of the popular ones. I never have been, and never likely will be. So.
Well, that's why I wanted to talk to you, because I think you're pretty prolific. You've been around for a long time. When did you start modding?
The Christmas break between 2012 and 2013, specifically. So I was playing. I had just been introduced to Tekkit, 125 Tekkit, right? I had immediately fallen in love with Buildcraft, so started a world with basically a stripped down version of Tekkit. Buildcraft, Red Power, EE, as it was called back then, Computercraft, a handful of others, and. After a while, I decided, I'm sick of going and exploring for oil all the time, right? Going and finding a new oil well, and then having to teleport it back with those Buildcraft additional objects pipes. So I said, you know what? I'm going to make a mod that allows you to turn sugarcane into fuel, right? Or sugarcane into oil specifically, right? I called it ethanoil, imaginatively enough. Anyway, so I made a Nicolite furnace and a few other things, and this took like a month to figure out, the basics. As at the time, I was not familiar with Java. I did have some programming background, but not object-oriented programming. And I was thoroughly unfamiliar with the back end of Minecraft with Forge and all these other things. So a lot of it was trial and error and whatnot. But eventually, I did get this mod, which I never ended up using, as the world died, like as in lost interest shortly thereafter. But with that, I'd had the foundation. A little later, I decided that, hey, I want to make a mobile tools mod because I'm sick of mining, all the stuff out with a stone pickaxe because I'm too cheap to spend the iron on it, and definitely too cheap to spend the diamonds on it in a mod pack anyway. So I thought, okay, so this means it's going to be made out of bedrock, which means you need to mine the bedrock, which means I need a machine to mine the bedrock because I don't want to just give the player the ability to mine the bedrock directly because then you can mine it to the void. Okay, so I need a machine. Let's make it a bedrock breaker. Let's make an engine, and you can probably already see where this is going.
Wow, so it sort of just snowballed into what it is now.
Yeah, it was originally planned as a tools mod, and instead grew into a whole power system mod.
That's
There's
interesting. I
actually a
didn't know
funny
that.
story associated with this. So originally, I was going to go with a Buildcraft style power system, right? Just because I wasn't imaginative. I wasn't able to figure out how to do that, but that's a good thing because midway through being stuck and not knowing what the hell to do, I dozed off at one point, had a dream about gearboxes due to stuff that was going on in the real world at the time. And woke up and says, I know what I'm going to do for the mod. And of course, that evening I programmed in, 2-to-1, 4-to-1, 8-to-1, and 16-to-1 gearboxes, and that's how Rotorcraft really got its start as what it is now.
Oh wow. So I didn't know that. That's interesting. So it could have gone a totally different direction if you hadn't had that dream.
Yeah, pretty much.
Wow. That's interesting. So What do you... Okay, so, like, this... That mod... Rotorcraft in general is sort of one of those mods that, like, it seems like a behemoth to take on if you've never used it. Like, you see screenshots of it and people, you know, like, people's crazy creations, and it's like, oh my god, I don't know if I could even ever do that. Like, what do you do in your daily life that you learned how to, like... That you learned, like, the mechanics for this? Like, are you like, some sort of engineer? Like, if you can say?
Yeah.
Like, okay.
Yeah, I've got multiple degrees now.
Okay.
In engineering and aerospace, specifically.
Well, that explains a lot.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of the undergrad degree went into rotorcraft, you know, basic mechanical stuff, kinematics, mm-hmm. thermodynamics, some stress analysis stuff. This is, like, it was... Like, all the equations that govern, you know, the load limits on the shafts and the gearbox and such, those were all determined by what I learned just a few years prior in undergrad, so.
I love it. Has this helped you at all? And, like, I mean, it's basically putting, like, all of these, like, ideas and dynamics into real life, well, not real life practice, but, you know, into some sort of, like, a practice. Has this helped you at all in your life? I asked King Lemming this in the last episode. Has this helped... your career at all? Have you used your Minecraft mod in, like, your resume or something like that?
I mean, putting things on a resume was kind of difficult in my situation because, you know, I do everything in Minecraft under an artificial name.
Right, yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, I have been able to put that, you know, I've got programming experience of various languages, mm-hmm. and now it's various languages, on a resume. That was a thing I could do.
That's cool. Well, I mean, so what... I've watched your, what sort of differentiates you from a lot of people is, I mentioned this in the pre-interview, that you actually play the game, and I noticed that a lot of modders don't play the game. They sort of mod, and through modding they lose interest in actually playing the game, so that sort of makes them, you know, not lose interest in Minecraft in general, but they become more of a modder than a player. But you, and the way I actually found out about you was through your Let's Plays on YouTube, and your world you made, it looks like you, like, min-maxed everything in your own mod. You, like, your world is ridiculous. And is your mod made specifically for you? Like, do you cater your stuff just like, oh, I want to add this for me? So, and that's what it sounded like in the beginning.
That is largely true. I don't know if I'd use the term cater because it implies excluding others, but
yeah.
Yes, a large quantity of the features in Rotorcraft, Chromatocraft, and others are based on, hey, I want to have this thing, and I don't readily have the way to do that, I'm going to implement this thing.
Mm-hmm.
I mentioned the tools earlier, but much more uniquely, I guess you could say, is, for example, a lot of the Chromatocraft stuff. Like, Chromatocraft is a device, has multiple devices, in fact, for flood-filling caves with light. These are designed specifically because I often find myself in a situation where, you know, that's the best way to acquire resources in a fairly early part of the game.
Mm-hmm.
And I am extremely high-strung, like so high-strung that I actually got jump-scared by a block of quarried stone once. And
okay.
Point is that I do not have the nerves to go into a cave when it's dark with mobs in it, right?
Got it.
So flood-filling with light solves both of those problems, right? You can't really be jump-scared if you can see the thing coming from 40 blocks away.
Yep.
Also, light prevents spawns, of course. Anyway, so, yeah, that's... I've been told time and time again, hey, why would you ever make this thing? This thing is useless, right? No one, aside from me, appears to ever have seen the value in it. But I implement it because I very much saw the value in it, and I use it every single time, contrast to many other things. I don't have a list in front of me, of course, of all the things that I've implemented because I personally wanted them, but that is a very, very long list, yes.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's really cool. Like, I mean, and the fact that you had to, like, I don't know, that you had to, like, clarify, like, oh, it's not just for me. Like, I think that mods who cares if you're putting it out publicly? Like, they're obviously a labor of love and created by you. Like, who cares if you put stuff in there that you want? Like, that it's your mod, you know? And, like, I think you've carved out your own niche amongst the tech mods that sort of can't be replaced. And even, and this sort of brings me on to my next question, the elephant in the room. I mean, you're still only on 1.7, right? Like, you haven't made the leap to 1.12. Do you want to talk about that? Like, I mean, there's a huge gap in the tech mod world because of the fact that you haven't
jumped.
Yeah.
I mean, there are multiple reasons for that. The chief among them, like, far eclipsing the others, is just pure logistical issue. I mean, the mods being as big as they are.
Yeah.
Like, this was actually brought up by someone random earlier today. Between them, they have almost a million lines of code. That is almost as big as the entire Minecraft base game itself. That is, as you might imagine, one hell of an undertaking to actually update. Especially when you consider that, especially when we're talking Wordcraft, Chromatocraft, especially Chromatocraft, they tend to be a lot deeper in terms of how they interact with the base game compared to like most mods, which just build on front-facing API stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And that means they're more affected by changes which happen every update, right? And that means that not only do I have more code to try and update, you know, the sheer size of the mods, but more of it has to be thrown out and redesigned. And it's not a simple matter of like, oh, just some variable name changed, because, you know, they rip out, for example, an entire rendering system. Well, now Chromatocraft, which exploited the particular implementation quirk of that rendering system, can't do the thing it used to do. And I got to find an alternative. I won't claim it's impossible, at least not most of the time, but it's still quite an undertaking. And so, yeah, that's the primary reason. Like, I estimate it to be many months worth of work.
Man, that sounds crazy.
Go ahead.
Well, what do you, I mean, do you think you'll ever do it if, like, 1.14 comes around and it becomes, like, the same kind of de facto that 1.12 is, or do you think you're going to stay? Because, I mean, like I said, I mean, 1.7 still has thousands and hundreds of thousands of people probably playing it daily because so many good mods are still there, you know? It's not like it's ever going to be forgotten.
Yeah, I mean, I'll never completely rule out updating. Like, I'll never say, you know, okay, I'm guaranteed not to update.
Mm-hmm.
However, the criteria I always have for updating is, does it currently justify the work and the cost of doing so? And I've not felt that it has.
That's fair.
One thing that, for example, this is just in theory, right? An example that would get me to update would be some version of Minecraft being like, hey, this is the last version of Minecraft. Whether that's because future versions are not moddable or because Mojang officially says, hey, we will not make any updates past this or whatever. Because then I know that, you know, I will never have to update again. That would definitely count very strongly towards me updating. Of course, that hasn't happened, at least not that we know of. But
man, that would be actually kind of nice, wouldn't it be? I mean, like, because the modders have taken it to the point where it anything that Mojang adds, they'll just sort of be like, oh, okay, it's another stepping stone to just, you know, updating our game and getting us onto the newest version. It's like, I mean, no offense to Mojang, it's just like the stuff that they add, either A, modders have done it before better, or B, it's just sort of like, you know, another mob or something like that. Like, if they stuck to a version and just said, hey, this is the last one, like, I think that would be one of the better things to happen to the mod community in a long time.
I agree. I mean, I've seen very mixed reactions to saying that, but yeah, I do agree that would help stabilize things and help also guarantee, because there's another phenomenon is people tend not to, and this includes me, people tend not to want to put a lot of work into updating a thing or implementing a thing if they think it's all going to get thrown out, you know, 6 months, a year later.
Yeah, yeah.
And I've seen many people say, hey, you know, why bother, you know, back, you know, putting all these bug fixes in if, you know, Minecraft's going to be updated, you know, 6 months from now. Forge has often made this exact argument and said, oh, we won't bother putting this fix yet, right? Well, obviously this will stop being a problem if this update is guaranteed not to come. But
I think it'd be a good thing.
I don't think that's a likely outcome. At least not in the sense of officially saying, hey, we won't update. In the sense of, hey, future versions won't be moddable, that's entirely possible.
Oh yeah, but yeah, maybe switching over to the Bedrock version, you know, as their main Minecraft version. I mean, that's something that we were calling years ago whenever Mojang was bought, and, like, it still hasn't happened, but you never know, it could still happen.
Yeah, I was thinking a little more fundamental than that. Like, for example, I've heard of a change proposed, so I've been hearing about it for more than a year and a half now. Basically, it would replace tile entities, which I don't know how experienced you are with modding. They're basically the ticking object associated with the block. They are the core of how machines and other things work.
Yeah.
They wanted to replace these with a system that's much more like the JSON scripts. You could basically build prefabs. If you're familiar with Factorio modding, it's kind of like that. You've got templates and you define some parameters, but nothing more.
So it's not as extensible. It's not as moddable.
Like, exactly. That would kill modding as we currently know, because you couldn't build something that does something completely unique. And to use an analogy from Factorio does not have a concept of an entity called a shield dome, right? You can't just make one and say, okay, it's got this strength and whatever, right?
Yeah.
So to actually make that, which I did, you have to have like tons of fake entities and tons of scripting running in the background. It's comparatively unperformed. It's got all sorts of weird little loopholes, and it's very, very inexact in comparison. And that's a comparatively simple, you know, concept, right? Something like mm-hmm. Chromatica Crystal Network, don't even bother. It's not worth it. So well, yeah, like that would have happened.
It's sort of like a blessing and a curse, isn't it, with modding? Like, it's so moddable. Like, Minecraft inherently, just by being Java and, like, how Forge and the coder pack has been made, like, it's so moddable that, like, you can mess anything up in the game. But, like, if Mojang dialed it back a little bit and made it official, quote-unquote, like, sure, there'd be more out there and it would be more supported, but, like, you would lose some of the creativity that I think you have made, you know, Thoughtcraft, stuff like that. Like, stuff that really pushes the game into, like, new depths. I don't think it would be possible anymore.
Yeah, having modded many games now with various levels of access, ranging from, hey, you can just define a couple of JSON files like Starbound, all the way up to all tons of custom coding like in Minecraft.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like no other game in my experience has the same sort of mod, that at least that I've modded, has the same sort of mod complexity, variance, and innovation that Minecraft does, because there's just not as much freedom to do such a thing. But the closest example I can think of is Space Engineers, which gives you code access, but it's very limited, right? They lock down just a few libraries. And left, right, and center, there's mods saying, hey, I want to do this feature, but I can't do it because the API doesn't allow it. It's included some of my mods. And what they accomplish is generally far more limited, with the exception of a few very unique examples. And even they have issues due to the restrictions.
Right, yeah, and I've said that all the time, like, I've mentioned that a ton, that, like, yeah, Minecraft, I think, is unprecedented in the modding community, like, even Skyrim, which is such a huge modding community, you know, it's still kind of reliant on the sort of modding APIs that Bethesda puts out there, and you only have access to sort of, like, things that the game already can do. You can't, like, make a whole new system, and, I mean, I'm not the most, experienced in Skyrim modding, but it's definitely not to the point where you can just add like crazy new systems, like, you know, build, you know, imagine, I mean, it would never work in the Skyrim sort of world, but imagine making like a thermal expansion mod or like a rotary craft mod type thing and sort of like that, it would be impossible. And yeah, like Minecraft really does just give you that, like, it feels unprecedented, and
yeah,
I think that's what keeps it alive. I mean, obviously modding's not the thing that makes Minecraft the thing it is now, but I think modding kind of keeps the intrigue alive, especially on YouTube, which is what sort of blew up Minecraft. Like, obviously those people didn't stick to vanilla. What did they do? They went to modded, right? Like, they went and did that, and that sort of kept Minecraft alive, at least in the public consciousness. Like, look at this crazy thing somebody did. Look at this crazy thing somebody did. I mean, look around here. I see you looking right now. Like, look at this crazy crap. We made a freaking talk show set with like a camera switcher that I'm doing right now. And like, it's in a game where you're supposed to like build blocks. Like, it's weird.
Yeah, I mean, I try not to overestimate the impact of modding, because just in terms of raw numbers,
yeah, oh yeah, it dwarfs.
Like, what, 5%?
Right.
So it seems, therefore, folly to suggest that the mods are sort of having the majority of the impact on the game. That said, they certainly have a noticeable impact. And if nothing else, they, A, provide an out to people who say, oh, Minecraft's a kid's game, we'll try some of these mods.
Yeah.
And secondly, Minecraft is a game you can get bored of very, very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there are some ways to keep yourself interested, especially if you're creative or whatnot. But generally speaking, you can get bored of it very quickly, especially if you play the game as it was, quote unquote, designed as a game, you know, the survival experience. Mods, of course, allow a great deal of expansion on that and a lot of replayability with all sorts of different configuration. And so people who might otherwise get bored and leave the game don't. And that helps keep them playing and keeps the game talked about. And yeah, word of mouth and whatever.
Yeah, where do you see it going in the future? I mean, within general, like, do you see, what would it take to get it into the next level?
I honestly have no idea. I mean, the historically, at least from my experience, the Minecraft modding community has largely been dictated through, I guess you could call it, innovations. You know, people occasionally will think up some whole new super impressive thing, and it sort of dominates the community for some period of time, usually on the order of a few months to a year.
Right.
And this one, of course, it is popular in its own right, but it also sort of sets a precedent that look what mods can achieve, and mods will still call back to that, you know, years later. I wasn't around in the early days of modded. I didn't even know Minecraft existed back then. But from what I hear, the early days of Buildcraft and Industrialcraft especially, they sort of set a new standard of like, oh, look what, you know, mods can do with all sorts of machinery and whatnot. And of course, then 15 other mods crop up doing the same thing, and before long, that grows into what becomes Tekken.
Yeah, exactly.
At least
the
tech side of it.
Yeah, it showed that, hey, mods can work together. You know, there was that was sort of like, again, unprecedented in other modding communities, mods working together and having this cross compatibility. You know, mods nowadays are made in mind of like, how can I work best with like these thousands of other things out there, right? That's the whole idea of like the ore dictionary and stuff like that.
Yeah, and I'm sure, for example, there will be a lot of people who point to, for example, RF, the power compatibility, as one such revolution.
Right.
I, of course, as you probably know, have my reservations about that.
But, you pave your own path, buddy. I think RF would be too limited for what you need it for.
Yeah, I won't claim RF shouldn't exist. Obviously, it has use.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, utility mods, Gendustry, for example. You know, no one wants Gendustry to have its own power system.
Right.
But the, it's not something that should be applied universally. But my point is just, yeah, there are people, for example, who point to that as a revolution in that, you know, now you've got a whole bunch of mods directly working off each other as opposed to sort of being compatible by, I guess you could say, being compatible versus acting like two parts of the same whole.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, I just exhausted all of my questions. I really, do you have anything else to say? Do you have any plugs? You know, do you have a Twitter? I don't know.
While I have a Twitter, I do not use it, at least not with any regularity. I've never liked the platform. I am known for being verbose, often excruciatingly so. So a platform that restricts your ability, like, the length of your communication is exactly the opposite of the kind of thing I would normally find myself wanting to use.
Okay, well, since you're so damn modest, I'll pimp out your stuff for you. Everybody go download Rotarycraft, Chromaticraft. They're all great mods, and I think you all should give them a try. Check out your YouTube channel. I think you have some great stuff on there. I don't know if you have tutorials, because do you have tutorials on there?
I don't have tutorials of my own creation.
Okay.
There are people who've made spotlights and whatnot, some of which act as tutorials. Sentinel H is probably the standard at this point.
Got it.
But, my stuff just hasn't been popular enough to have a ton of people playing and making wikis and whatever. There are wikis and such, but they're incomplete at best.
Got it. Well, I mean, yeah, just go check out your stuff, see the crazy stuff that you can do with it, and I recommend checking out the mod. Thank you so much for being on, man.